Curse.
Welcome to Speak and Destroy, episode 68. Speak and Destroy is a podcast featuring interviews about Metallica, and I am your host, Ryan J. Downey. My guest this episode is Dr. Edward H. Frank, executive director of All Within My Hands. Ed tells me about his relationship with Metallica and the work they do together with the charitable organization, named after the St. Anger song, All Within My Hands. Ed worked in the computer industry for more than 30 years, including a stint as vice president of Macintosh hardware engineering at Apple, where he led the development of several generations of Macintosh computers. He is a vice chairman of the Carnegie Mellon University Board of Trustees, and is a vice chair of the executive leadership board of the UC Davis Department of Viticulture and Enology. In addition to supporting All Within My Hands, Ed and his wife Sarah have focused their personal philanthropy on major U.S. research universities, the arts, and local cultural institutions. Ed and Sarah both live in San Francisco, California. Remember, the best way to support Speak and Destroy is to go into Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen, leave a 5-star rating, and write a nice little review. You can also support us on Patreon, which will give you access to bonus episodes culled from my interview archives over the years, including conversations with Glenn Danzig and Kirk Hammett. You can find Speak and Destroy at speakanddestroy.com and on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Downey and on Instagram at SuperheroHQ. Check out other podcasts in the Pop Curse Podcast Network, including Pop Curse, which features musicians talking movies, and No Prize from God, featuring conversations about belief, unbelief, and everything between. So here it is, my conversation with Dr. Edward H. Frank of All Within My Hands. This is Speak and Destroy. We are here to talk about Metallica and All Within My Hands and that great, you know, philanthropy that organization represents and is involved in. I wanted to ask you just quickly before we get into that, in general, how you got into philanthropy and what your entry was, you know, coming from the other parts of your career and the other parts of your life that put you front and center and made you the right person to coordinate with Metallica.
That's a good question. So, I mean, just on a personal basis, my wife and I have always tried to give back, given how fortunate we've been. I mean, I've grown up in a tech career in the computer business, and have been fortunate to be fairly successful there. You know, as my bio shows, you know, worked for some important companies like Broadcom and Apple, and along the way, we just always felt that when we had the opportunity to support institutions that we believe in, we would do that. And a number of years ago, a friend of mine, I've been a Metallica fan for a long time, but a friend of mine was at one of these school auctions, and they were auctioning off, the band had given to the school a meet and greet with the band. And mm-hmm. Yeah, to support Tony Hawk, who's a good friend of theirs, the skateboarder. And so my friend said, hey, do you want to go in half on this? And I said, sure. So we basically bought a chance to go hang with the band at headquarters. And my friend and I both had the same idea. You know, we'd get to say hello, watch him play for a little bit, and then we'd go on our way. And instead, what it turned into is, and I don't play anything, but we got to jam with the band for an hour or two. Kirk showed my friend Henry how to play Enter Sandman or something like that on the guitar, which is pretty cool. And then we ended up sitting with them for lunch for a couple hours, and through that kind of became friends. And Lars invited us, I think, to go to a concert at AT&T Park a month later when it was the concert, the one where everyone wanted Metallica to be the band for the first Super Bowl at Levi's Stadium. Mm-hmm. And instead, they, of course, didn't do that. They did the, what was called the Night Before concert, AT&T Park. So we got invited to do that. And Lars, who's, you know, super great guy, as everyone knows, and said, hey, look, anytime you want, you know, let us know. And we'll, you know, make sure you get tickets to a show. So I happened to be at a show in outside of Boston, I guess it was 2017. I donated, they just started the foundation all within my hands, and I donated some money to it, to just my way of saying, hey, I super appreciate all the kindness you guys have showed us. And after the show is over, so I think kind of midnight-ish, Lars texts and said, hey, what are you doing? And I said, oh, we're kind of on our way out. And he says, well, and I was with a, I brought a friend of mine, different friend, and says, well, come hang. So we kind of find our way backstage, and we're hanging, my friend and I are hanging with Lars and Robert, and somewhere around 2:30 in the morning, I say, hey, you know, what's all this foundation stuff about? And Lars and I were talking about that, and I, as I like to tell this story, I uttered carelessly those three dangerous words, I want to help. And Lars says, cool, you know, when we're, when I'm back in California, you know, let's get together. And then along the way, I ended up writing a couple pages of notes about what I thought it meant, Lars liked that. And long story short, in a concert that summer in Toronto, there was a break day, and I had put together some material to present to the whole band about my vision, about what the foundation, how it might be run and what it ought to go do. In particular, they had been doing, I think everybody knows, a lot of really great stuff. I mean, both what I would call, and with no ill will on this, random acts of kindness. So there'd be these things where, you know, somebody, something bad would happen to somebody and the band would hear about it and they'd donate money. I think more at scale, they have done a number of events where they were donating money to a local food bank.
Yeah.
And they have been doing that for years and years.
The food bank stuff, and they were also the Bridge School benefits. They were pretty associated with those, yeah.
For Neil Young. And so they've been doing that. And so there's a long history of them trying to find ways to give back. And what had happened with creating the foundation was two things. One was a vision of taking it to the next level. You know, the famous, you know, James always says, we're going to take it to the next level. Well, that's kind of what All Within My Hands is about. But also, I think, a hope on their part, we have still work to do here, of using their name and brand together with philanthropy to get fellow musicians to, you know, particularly in the metal world, to kind of step it up as well. And that's a work in progress. I think, you know, we have to get our, do our own thing and really start making impact there. So anyway, at this meeting we had, in the summer of 2017 in Toronto, we talked about what we might go do. And the message I was focused on was basically focus, which is a foundation, particularly one of relatively modest size, you know, some number of millions of dollars, but not tens or hundreds of millions of dollars, can't do everything. And so better is to do a few things well, and than to try and do lots of little things. It's a, you know, because the idea is to have impact in some areas where you really make a difference. And so we talked about this idea of giving back to the communities that have supported the band and continuing helping feed people, because that's so important. Mm-hmm. We then also talked about education, and that's kind of where the germ of the idea of, well, let's go do something in education, because digression, we also wanted to stay away from anything political, right? The band,
of course, yeah,
plays in front of people from all walks of life. And, you know, the idea was not to go do stuff that isn't bad stuff, but could be interpreted as political.
Things that are polarizing. Yeah, I just was having this conversation yesterday as a fan. Something I've always appreciated about the band is that as intimate of a look as they give us into the inner workings and their personalities and everything, and you can sort of make educated guesses maybe about where they might lie politically, they've always shied away from anything overt. And I think, you know, part of the thing that makes them exciting is they're a bit like the Beatles in the sense that what Metallica is these four very different people. Yeah. And how each of those four people, the chemistry that's created by what each of them brings to it. And in part of that, you know, I think there's undoubtedly a myriad of political views, world views within the group. And so I think it's just been so smart and brilliant, really, the way that they have, they're not apolitical in the sense that they do things like start this foundation. You know, they are making, having a positive effect in the world beyond even just the art that they create. But yeah, it's just been a stroke of genius the way that they don't plant a flag on any one side.
Yeah, and you know, and there are things that look, the various, you know, people are passionate about. I mean, you know, Kirk and Robert are surfers, as everyone knows. And so, you know, I think both have been very supportive of like Surf Rider Foundation and things like that. And so we discussed, you know, should we do that or not? And I think despite any personal feelings about, well, you know, how can supporting the environment be viewed as political? It unfortunately becomes political. But and so when we talk about what we might go do, feeding people, pretty unpolitical.
Yeah.
Educating people, pretty unpolitical. And then we ultimately kind of fell into disaster relief, again, pretty unpolitical. But it all fit within this common theme of how do we go support communities that have supported the band? And so we started with feeding people. The other thing we liked about working, particularly with Feeding America, which in the US is the umbrella organization, as many people know, is we also wanted, as part of this foundation, to help provide opportunities for fans to volunteer. And I think, as everyone knows, this year was a little complicated, but in the previous 2 years, we had done these fan volunteer days in May, where fans would come out and work at the local food bank, and at least in the places where the band guys were, they tried to come out, and everyone really loved that. And we want to grow that. I mean, we want to grow that ultimately, hopefully, to do something worldwide. But then disaster relief was really focused on California fires, but hurricanes and, you know, the Southeast and also in New York, and then fires again and fires in Australia. We've also worked really closely with an organization, how did I say it, I'm about to blank on the name, I'll remember it in a minute, I'll come back, but you know, to try and do medical aid as part of disaster relief. And then the education thing came out of really two threads. One was the discussion we had about let's go educate people. And James at that meeting was fairly, adamant's too strong a word, but would challenge us to find, you know, let's not do this sort of thing of, you know, supporting people. I mean, I'm vice chair of the board of trustees at, you know, Carnegie Mellon University, you know, a top 25 R1 university, you know, and he was like, well, they don't need our help. Let's go help other people. And so,
right.
and so let's go look at what we might go do. And actually, but through one of the things I'm involved with professionally, it's called the Computer Science and Telecommunication Board. One of the other people on that, a friend, Moshe Verde, who is at University of Texas. Anyway, Moshe and I were talking, and I was telling him what we were doing, and he said, oh, well, you know, I know this great woman, Jen Wirth, who's at the American Association of Community Colleges, and they're doing this whole workforce education thing. And he had gotten really interested in workforce education because of a concern many of us have. You know, sometimes it's called the digital divide, but for what Moshe and I were thinking of, it really something different. It was really about how do we get people who aren't PhDs in computer science like we are to go really understand what all this computer stuff means. You know, when you talk about, oh, you know, all this AI stuff is happening, our worry is that people are being asked to make decisions on something that they don't have a very good model for. So anyway, long story short, he's gotten very interested in that topic and had been working with Jen on how do we go do educate the broad community on some of this very complex AI technology. But he said, hey, I'll hook you up with Jen. And so I ended up talking to Jen, and through that, we came up with this idea of the Metallica Scholars Initiative. A little bit the name was tongue-in-cheek on my part, because as some radio announcer up in Washington or Idaho said when interviewing one of the presidents of one of the community colleges we're supporting, he said, well, two words I never kind of expected to be associated together were Metallica and Scholars. And yeah, that's a little bit of the tongue-in-cheek, but there's a very serious part to it, which is that scholarship isn't reserved for, you know, the people who go to Harvard or Stanford or Carnegie Mellon. Right. There are lots of forms of scholarships. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we crafted a program whose intent was to focus on workforce education and how we could go help people of all walks of life, but particularly people in the workforce, get better careers. And in many cases, in fact, probably in most cases, that's not about them even getting like a two-year associate degree. It's really about them getting training that might lead to a certificate. It may take 3 months or a month or 6 months, but it's relatively focused training that lets them go from having a job that may be earning minimum wage to having a job that's earning 2, 3, 4 times minimum wage, whether it's phlebotomy or metalworking or you know, truck driving. I mean, anyway, you look at the broad range of programs we've supported, it's really become quite fascinating and eye-opening to me personally about how to take people and train them to do better jobs. And then what's turned out, and this really, I think, has jazzed the band, it certainly jazzed those of us who are on the board of the foundation and we're working with them, are that we discovered along the way that there are a set of people for whom they're a little older, they're not just the, you know, kids coming out of high school, these might be people in their 20s or early 30s or maybe even older, for whom the ability to go to school really relates to, and get a certificate and get some training, really relates to not having the incremental money available to do that. And as well as all the issues about support and things like that. And the phrase that I got taught was one about life gets in the way. So they have to decide, gee, do I go to school or do I buy a new tire for my car so I can go to my present job? And through the American Association of Community Colleges, what we've been able to go do is provide support for a set of programs, initially at 10 schools, now at 15. Next year, hopefully, a little unclear, but hopefully be at 20 schools. And we hope to keep growing it, but literally providing support through these schools to what's going to be thousands of people who are not supportable through typical state or federal programs. And that has provided the schools we're working with huge flexibility. So what they love about working with All Within My Hands, and it's not because, you know, we're so smart, it's just because we're a little bit flexible, that they can go off and provide support to what are otherwise difficult to support cohorts. So these three programs, feeding, disaster relief, and basically the Metallica Scholars Program, are a great core of what we go do. That's kind of the grant side of it. I mean, we can get, and I'll let you talk in a second, but the
this is great. I mean, you've answered like four questions in one.
So. Yeah. Like I said, I'm passionate about it because I mean, for so many reasons, but ultimately it's just because we're helping people get better lives, right? We're helping people in a very, very specific way. But anyway, what I was going to say is the schools like all of this because we're flexible. And what I was saying is it's not because we're so smart. We as a foundation have learned a lot along the way. It's really because we had more or less no preconceived idea about how this ought to go work. Though in the areas where we did, and me personally, and I'll give you a concrete example, we've been schooled a little bit. So the concrete example was one of the things I told Jen Wirth at the AACC is I said, I don't want to support overhead at these schools, meaning, you know, I don't want to go pay for the salary of some administrator. Mm-hmm. I want our money to go to whether it's buying tools or computers or bus fare or whatever. We want the money to go directly to the students. And so we crafted a program like that. But a whole bunch of the schools came back to us and said, well, we'd like some support. So the initial grants were $100,000. So we'd like $20,000 to pay for part of the salary for an administrator type, counselor type to oversee this program. And I was like, no, we're not going to do that. And so they worked around that. But when we then met with all the schools, which we did, and we're pretty hands-on on this. So again, this year is a little different, but in the previous 2 years, we would go and meet with all the people who were running these programs. It often included the presidents of these community colleges. But what we learned was that actually of great value were in fact these counselors who could help students, whether it's get a job or understand what it meant to come to class, that we were often teaching people who didn't come from the privileged background I came from, or who didn't, mm-hmm. were like my kids. I always use the example of my two daughters, right? Well, when my two daughters went to college, they could, anytime they had a problem, they could call up their mom and dad, both of whom have too many college degrees. And then our parents, my wife's parents and mine, they went to college. So, you know, long history of what school was all about. But what you learn is there are a whole lot of talented, motivated people in who are potentially first gen, meaning that they're the first kids in their family, or the first people in their family to go to school. Mm-hmm. I've seen Carnegie Mellon, where I'm involved, but even in our program, where just helping people understand what it means to get an education, how they ought to go through coursework, that is potentially the most valuable thing we did. Okay. And so my point being, we've learned a lot along the way. And so we become much more flexible. In fact, to the point of we now go to the schools, tell us what support you're providing for the students, not just in the education, not just in the certificate program, but in life. Because how do you go help people learn some of the skills that they've just not been lucky enough to come from the family where they get to learn? That was natural.
Right? Even to learn how to learn, as you're kind of alluding to. Yeah.
You know, or how to go, you know, I mean, again, you know, my kids want to write a resume. They call up dad and they say, Dad, will you look at the resume I wrote? Mm-hmm. You know, but these kids don't have that. Or again, they're not kids. I shouldn't call them. I just turned 64 yesterday. So
I I turned 47 in a week, in 8 days, and I call everyone kids also. So.
Yeah, but these are you know, hardworking, smart people in their 20s and 30s, and what they need is the little help and a little bit of boost and a little bit of support that a lot of other people get from their families or their communities, because they were privileged to be born into those communities, right? Born into those families. And so I think that's why we, you know, meaning the foundation, and why the band have really been thrilled about all this, because we've heard from students, and I think you'll probably hear from, you know, I think everybody knows, or hopefully everybody knows, that the band is doing their second fundraiser and foundation on November 14th. You can go to the All Within My Hands website, or I'm sure Metallica.com, and The good news, because it's a virtual event, you know, streamed online live from headquarters, it's relatively inexpensive. I think tickets are like $10 or something.
I already bought my ticket.
But all that money goes to what I've just been talking about. Not a penny, but all the sort of underlying support, both to go put on an event like this concert, but also the overhead either is paid for by the band, or some of this gets paid for by very specific sponsors or by members of the board like myself. So every nickel from the fans and from other donors really goes to support these causes. So November 14th, but I think the reason I was on that wasn't to give a shameless plug, though I'm happy to do that. and it's going to be a fantastic concert, like the first one was 2 years ago. Unique in many, many ways. But I think you'll hear at that time from some of the students who have been Metallica scholars. I think you'll hear from, you know, some of the food banks. And that's really what we care about. But the stories from the Metallica scholars are the amazing ones, because you hear people who basically maybe even didn't even know who Metallica was,
right?
But somehow or other got interested in the program because they heard about Metallica scholars, saw some poster for it, and I have a digression I could go on there. But and then say, thank you, Metallica, right? And we've changed somebody's lives, you know. And there's a line from the Talmud, you know, you save one life, you save the world. Well, in this case, you know, I don't know if we're saving a life, but we're changing a life. And in changing one life, you do change the world.
Absolutely. And I think that there's also something to be said, and you would have a better perspective than I would coming from academia. But there's something to be said for guys like the four guys in Metallica that, despite varying degrees or lack of traditional education, have certainly learned a lot about the world and about business, about interpersonal relationships that they have to offer. I was reminded of this because, prior to the pandemic, I used to host a Q&A series at the Musicians Institute in Hollywood. And, you know, the guests are almost always musicians. And more times than I can count, I've had a guest say to me at some point in the pre-production process, hey, I'm a high school dropout. I don't know that I'm qualified to get up on stage and talk to 500 students. And I go, you have so much information and just experience in the school of life to offer these kids. You know, you have no idea. Don't sell yourself so short.
No, absolutely. And as I always tell people, I mean, yeah, I you know, obviously I'm not an idiot. At least I try not to be, and have been well educated and been fortunate to be well educated.
Yeah. But unlike Dr. Phil, that's a real doctorate you have.
Yeah. PhD in computer science. Knock on. But what I really feel fortunate about, and this is what I've tried to teach my daughter about this, and actually I've talked about this with probably all the guys, actually, and is the thing that we can give to our kids, and the thing we can give, hopefully through things like Metallica Scholars, to other people, it's not the degrees, it's the passion, right? And what you see out of the guys, I mean, I don't think you perform together for 38 years or whatever it's been, maybe it's 39 this year, I don't know. You don't do that unless you have passion for it. But what I always feel fortunate about is I had passion for something, technology, computers, and I got lucky that it was also a way to make a lot of money. And now I'm trying to find, you know, all the good ways to give it back. But that's where we've been lucky. And so to your point about a musician getting up on stage, what the guys are able to do, what I hope we can do through the foundation, but all of us who have been fortunate enough to get to go do something we love to go do, really trying to go convey to other people, here's the passion that you get to go bring to it. You know, it's a hackneyed expression, you know, it's not a job if you love doing it. And, you know, but there's truth to that. I mean, throughout my career, I mean, I've been working, I don't know, since, you know, doing computer stuff and making, you know, being employed doing it since I was a teenager. So you guys can do the math. But, you know, I've always loved doing it. And we used to, at some of the companies I've been at, you know, you're doing these all-nighters because you're bringing up some chip or some computer and you're in the lab at 5 a.m. Well, what motivates you to do something at 5 a.m. is that it's so intellectually interesting. Mm-hmm. And that's what I hope we get to go do in part, is not just help people earn more money, though that's critically important when you're talking about people for whom the alternative is, you know, minimum wage working somewhere, but more importantly, getting them into a career where they can then go to, you know, the next level. Again, you know, they can find a career where, I can become a phlebotomist, and then maybe there's a nurse's assistant, or I don't know where it all goes. I'm not educated enough to know that. But that I hope is what we get to go do. And if over the years we do that for tens of thousands of people, then I view we will have accomplished with all within my hands everything that the band hoped to have accomplished. And, you know, we will have set a good example for other people about here's what you can do with philanthropy. Mm. Really, what I talk about is focused philanthropy, where you pick a small set of things to go do and you do them. Now, you know, will we take on something else? Yeah, maybe. You know, I know there's interest in some of the band members about doing other things over time. You know, again, just so people understand, probably, and don't hold me to the exact numbers, but I want to say probably 3/4 of the funding for the foundation comes from the band contributing from every event on the tour.
Wow.
So, you know, they're basically literally taking money out of, you know, their pockets or somebody's pocket. It's theirs. Maybe it's also promoters. I don't know. But and that goes, you know, into the foundation. Those of us on the board have provided support. And then, of course, November 14th, you can help provide support through Helping Hands concert. And then fans, we get donations from all kinds of fans. You know, we had this, you know, James, I don't know if everyone's aware, made some end tables.
Yes. Yeah, that was fairly recently. Yeah.
Fairly recently. Those got raffled off. And I don't know, I want to say like, well, several thousand people participated in the raffle, and all that money went to the foundation. And it was like more than $75,000 from the raffling of these tables. So that's how the foundation generates money. You know, we do have some well-to-do friends who either through the Helping Hands or just through donations. Some companies like Salesforce and Live Nation. I don't want to leave anybody else, but Wolverine Boots, you know, who have donated money. Mm-hmm. Apologize for all the other ones I'm not remembering, but you know.
Well, so they don't do it for the recognition.
They don't do it. No, they don't. They do it because, you know, Wolverine is a great example. They did it because they shared a passion on workforce education. They make work boots, so we're supporting people who they support, and they said, hey, we love Metallica Scholars, so we'd like to support some of the schools you're supporting. So, you know, that's kind of the simple. It's a very simple foundation. We have kind of one employee, Renee Richardson, who really runs the day-to-day stuff. The rest of the support for, you know, from amazing, amazing people, at Metallica headquarters, and mm-hmm. You know, so that's effectively paid for by the band because it's Metallica headquarters.
Sure, it's their infrastructure, and yeah, you don't have to. The foundation doesn't have to pay for an office building or warehousing, or you know.
One of the great things we get to value is all the social stuff in support of the foundation. Mm-hmm. gets done by the team. You know, a fantastic team at Metallica headquarters who do all their social stuff, and we get the benefit from that. So, you know, the band, I mean, besides the money they're directly giving to, that we get to grant, the band is picking up all kinds of expenses. So, you know, in fact, actually, you know, we're setting up the foundation. The whole discussion was about, you know, how do we have a foundation where, you know, it's truly pure, that people can have confidence that when they're giving money, it's not buying dinners, or it's not buying plane flights or things like that. It's not going to support fundraising. And so you can actually go look. I mean, if you're familiar with this stuff at all, and now we're really getting into foundation minutia, but every U.S. foundation has to file a form. It's called a 990. And you can look at your favorite foundation. You can also look at organizations like Charitable Navigator and find out about your favorite foundation. We're not on Charitable Navigator yet because we haven't been around long enough. They look for a track record, but you can go look at our 990s and you will see very little, first of all, we essentially have almost no expenses.
Yeah.
So I say that not to pat ourselves on the back, but
it's an important concern, I think, for any of us when we're giving money, as you want to, and then there's sometimes you see some charitable organizations that are self-dealing, or, billing the charity for hiring the founder's production company to shoot a video or, whatever it is. And it's great to know. Transparency is absolutely essential to this kind of work.
And that's where we are. I mean, I can tell you the foundations that, give me an example, okay, the contrast, and everybody gets to make their own decision. But, we all get these calls from the local, first responders thing. And, they say, hey, will you buy, $10 tickets from, to go support the local, police or fire persons or whatever charity. And it sounds like a great thing to do. The unfortunate thing is when you dig into that, 85% of that money typically is going to fundraising.
Right.
So if you give 10 bucks, only a buck 50 goes to the cost. Well, if you give 10 bucks to All Within My Hands, all of it goes to the things we're supporting. Now, that's not to say that the organizations, we talked about overhead, right? We talked about, look, not every dime you give to us that we give to the schools doing Metallica Scholars ends up buying something for a student. But even in supporting some of the overhead, it is in support of the students. And then,
of course. And I mean, in any organization, I think any reasonable person will understand that there's going to be some expenses, paying for a parking garage or, occasionally there's something.
Even that, I work pro bono, for the.
Yeah. You're not demanding a per diem when you travel on behalf of the foundation.
I pay for it. And that's the way it should be, right? Same thing for the work we do for Carnegie Mellon. But again, really where our focus is what you said. We want to run a very transparent foundation where fans and our supporters can have confidence that the money they're donating goes to, they completely understand where the money is going to, and where the principals, in particular the band, have the most skin in the game, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really, I think, what makes this foundation. It's not like we're trying to go say, hey, we're going to use our name, I joke about that because it's Metallica's name, but we're going to use Metallica.
Yeah, but you're part of the foundation. And I also, I manage a band and a producer, and I hear myself saying R and us all the time. And I realize I'm not in the band.
I always smile when I say that, but the band has skin in the game. It's not just using their name to get other people to donate. They're the principal donors. And yes, are other people giving because they love Metallica? Absolutely. Other people are giving because they love Metallica. Are there people giving because, the respect and the, everything the band has accomplished? Absolutely. But, it's not something, and there are, where people will say, look, I'll give some time, but I'll put on an event or something like that. But all the money is coming from the fans. No, most of the money here is coming from the band. But let me be super clear. The money that comes from the fans and everybody else is hugely important. I mean, it's a big piece of what we're able to go do. So, we want to do both. We want something where the fans feel like All Within My Hands is theirs. It's mm-hmm. something that they own that is responsive to them and is, when they hear that name, they can feel proud that the money they've given or the volunteering that they've done is part of the family. I mean, you hear this, right? When you know the guys are at concerts, right? And at the end,
yeah, Metallica family.
Metallica family. And, yeah. And this is one of the things the Metallica family is doing. That's very much what the guys feel like.
Absolutely. And it comes across for sure. You know, and I first became aware of Feeding America, one of the organizations you mentioned, about 10 years ago. I was covering for MTV News an American Idol event. I think it was Idol Gives Back or something. And David Arquette was there talking about Feeding America. And there were some other charities, Children's Health Fund, Malaria No More, I think the UN Foundation. But and not to be overly dismissive of any one organization, but I love the idea that you're talking about of focus, because it can be overwhelming to say, I want to give to charity, let alone I want to start a charity. And then it's like, well, there's so many things to give to, you know, and there's, there's poverty, there's water, there's, you know, the list is on and on and on. And I love that idea of, hey, let's figure out what our focus is and be very streamlined about that and let people know exactly where their money's going. And it seems like that's the only way to do it, or else it seems like you're setting yourself up for burnout.
Yeah, well, or just that, you know, this way, someone, an individual, and we talk about this, I think, on the All Within My website, All Within My Hands website, which is that, you know, whether you want to give to All Within My Hands, or you just want to give directly to Feeding America, or you just want to give to, you know, your local food bank. We live here in the greater Salt Lake area. So, you know, I've donated both All Within My Hands, but we donated directly to the Salt Lake City Food Bank personally. That's fine. Look, our goal in this is not to make All Within My Hands big or bigger, or, you know, it's really to get everyone who is in the family to go think about what they could go do to support their local community at whatever level, whether, you know, it's $1, $10, or if they're fortunate enough, $10,000. But it's joining in this passion to support communities that we live in. And that's really what All Within My Hands is about. I mean, you know, just the name is meant to convey that, right? Mm-hmm. It's in each of our hands to go help our neighbor, help someone in our community who may be less fortunate than us, to do something to make our local community better. So it's grassroots in that way. And we just would love to convey our passion to support these communities to go transfer to everybody else. And however you do that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we now live in Utah, but we lived in the San Francisco Bay Area for a long time. And, you know, like many cities, San Francisco has a tremendous homeless problem. And, you know, I came to realize, and this is just a personal story, that, you know, if I gave $5 to some homeless person that I walked by, I could help that person. Maybe it's get something to eat. You know, people worry, oh, they might buy alcohol with it. Well, I'm not that judgmental. I like a good glass of wine too. So,
sure.
The point being, that was something I felt I could go do one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we my wife and I do other philanthropy, some of it highfalutin, supporting museums and art and universities and things like that. But I love our ability, the fact that we can both give time and coin All Within My Hands because of what All Within My Hands is focused on.
Yeah, and I think that part of the focus, and, you know, and to use the example of someone hitting you up for spare change and giving them that money, which I'm certainly not discouraging anyone from doing, but it does get into that give a man a fish versus teach a man to fish philosophy.
Or a woman or a non-binary person.
I think that's what's great about what the foundation does in particular, is that it's empowering people to lift themselves up just as much as it's
we're at multiple ends of this, right? Because in Feeding America, it's very much, look, you can't you know, it's hard to go learn if you're hungry. So you have to do both.
Right.
And it's not close to retire, but you know, a good friend of the band is a guy. So I'm sure many people have heard his name, Mark Benioff, who's the founder and CEO of Salesforce.
Mm-hmm.
They've been a great sure. supporter of the band and of All Within My Hands. And you know, Mark and his wife are great philanthropists. And one of the things they've done and Mark has talked about this, and I remember going to a thing where Mark and Lars, some public lecture where Mark and Lars were talking about this. Mark, you know, they supported the UCSF hospitals, particularly Children's Hospital. And, mm-hmm. and what Mark's point about that was, again, very focused, was he said, look, you know, we could do a lot of different things, but if we can't have children be healthy and make sure that they can get the medical care they need, then we're failing them. And so, you know, that's where, as I understand, I don't speak for him at all, but, you know, the message is the same message. Find something that you're passionate about that makes sense to you, where your support of it, it makes you feel like, hey, I have done something that works for what I'm interested in.
And mm-hmm.
you know, again, if that ends up being All Within My Hands, if you support us, and that's awesome, obviously, we love that. But equally, just taking, the message we want to convey, again, and I apologize for being redundant, my wife hates when I do this, but you know, it's just find something you're passionate about supporting and support it, however you do it.
Well, I mean, if there's anything to be repetitive or redundant about, it's this stuff. So you get a pass here.
All right,
for sure. Yeah, I want to ask you before we wrap up, you mentioned something earlier, and this might even turn into an off the record or a side conversation after the fact, but you mentioned the idea of inspiring other artists and organizations, particularly within the metal and hard rock community, to step up as well. Is that something you're looking to do in terms of expanding All Within My Hands and bringing other bands under that umbrella? Or do you mean more sort of broadly speaking of them starting similar foundations of their
own? Yeah, I think it was less about All Within My Hands being an umbrella thing. I think, you know, again, lots of generous folks, you know, at the first Helping Hands concert, you know, Cage the Elephant graciously, you know, played the opening for that, as you may remember, and absolutely awesome. I mean, it's probably out of turn, but I think, you know, it really got the guys focused on, wow, we've got to do something big, and they did. So it's always good to have that. But, you know, I have seen Cage the Elephant once before. Again, they were the band before Metallica at Outside Lands.
Mm.
And so it's great to see them up close in a small venue. I don't remember if it's any open this time. But anyway, so that was supportive of All Within My Hands, because they helped us raise, you know, a lot of money in the Helping Hands fundraiser. But I think this is more about setting a good example.
Gotcha.
Less than it is about, gee, are there other bands who
recruiting some other bands into the, okay.
Yeah, I think, again, I don't want to speak for the guys on this, and it's a good question to ask, you know, all of them, but I think right now they kind of do All Within My Hands is their thing, and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's not trying to go be some umbrella organization. And I think, you know, we have a nice thing going, you know, figure out what to go do. We kind of, you know, part of my job is to and the board, the other board members, not including that, is to help figure out what we want to go do. The band itself often says, like a lot of this disaster relief, you get a message from one of the band guys saying, hey, you know, don't you think we ought to give money to this? And mm-hmm. we'll go research it. And again, trying to be focused and also but trying to go make sure we do it across the country. And ultimately across the world. You know, when we did fire relief in Australia, It seems like it was years ago now, but I think it was just at the beginning of this year, right?
When all this I've been saying every day for the last couple of months that I'm pretty sure 2020 is about 10 years long.
Yeah, it is.
It's been quite the decade, 2020.
Yeah, and that was, it was Lars saying we got to go do something, and Kirk saying that's not enough, and, when we talk it out. And so I think we like that. I think we like the fact that we don't have to do a mind meld among too many people. I mean, you said it before. Yeah. These are four very different people. On the other hand, with a shared mission, and, a huge shared history. I mean, from the time they were, they're all, 19 to however old they are today, in their mid 50s. So, a lot of shared history, but a lot of different, different lives, right? So, I think that's probably, I can't imagine that changing in the short term. Obviously, if we have a board meeting someday and the guys say, hey, we want to go, we were talking to, pick your favorite musician, and he or she wants to become part of this, that would be awesome. I mean, the guys loved working with Lady Gaga, so I suppose I'm picking this up, and so I'm not speaking for anybody here. Hypothetical. Okay.
I've already got the press release going out. So sorry.
if suddenly they said, hey, we're going to do something with her,
I'm sure they would have no problem whatsoever recruiting other artists
I think right now we're pretty happy with how things are going.
Sure.
My sense is the thing that's top of everybody's list, and top of everybody's list, is I think the guys really would love to be back on tour. That, not only for all the obvious music making reasons, but also because I think that's one of the ways that the foundation gets a lot of its critical support.
Yeah, that's the Johnny Appleseed with the foundation, right? It's going out and planting even just the idea and the awareness. And of course, the band is always, they're extremely innovative. They're always ahead. The drive-in experience, I went to that, and it was fantastic. Definitely making some lemonade with the lemons, as Metallica often does. I love everything that you're doing with the foundation. I was, I've been supportive of it esoterically and directly in some ways since it began. And in doing this Metallica theme podcast, I definitely wanted to have and hope to have more folks like yourself from the board who are part of the philanthropy side, just coming and talking about who you are and what y'all are doing. I think it's great.
I mean, obviously the, Carnegie Mellon University, it was founded by Andrew Carnegie, and the tagline of his was, my heart is in the work. And so that's easy to use here. My heart is in the work. But thank you for the opportunity to talk about what we're doing. Thanks to everyone listening who has been supportive of the foundation and, of course, supportive of the band. Hopefully over the next many years, you'll get to know more about what we're doing, and we will have the opportunity to talk again, but
Absolutely.
Also the opportunity to really help people out there in the community, again, not just in the U.S. but worldwide.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Remember the name of the other organization we work with, another great organization, just in the final moments, Direct Relief, which is fantastic worldwide organization that provides medical support in communities around the world. So,
brilliant. If we were in Pro Tools right now, I could just copy and paste, put them, drop it back in. Fantastic. Thank you so much for making the time to do this, and keep in touch. And if there's ever any way that I can help or open a door to someone else who can help or whatever,
This is great. This helping get the message out. So thanks, Ryan.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. Have a good rest of your day.
You too.